Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be talking about a business that sits up on East Maple Street as you're going toward East High School. It's been in business for quite a few years. In fact, back in the 60s it was formed. It's called Faulkner & Fain. You may have wondered what they do. We're going to find out what they do. We're going to talk to a previous owner, Paul Faulkner, whose dad started the company. We'll do that right after this word from the Farmers Bank of Jessamine County.
Beginnings are important, especially when it comes to building a future. From start to finish, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County will be with you every step of the way. Whether it's a house, a car, a college fund, or saving for retirement, it all starts here. Stop by any of our four convenient Jessamine County locations today or visit us on the web at myfarmersbank.net. Banking with friends and neighbors, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn about people, places, and things of Jessamine County. On today's program, we're going to talk about a business. If you go up East Maple Street and you head up the block through Central Avenue on your way to East High, you will see a business on the left that has sat there for, gosh, a long time. We're going to find out how long. On your left, called Faulkner & Fain. And you may have driven by wondering, wonder what they do. There are some people that know, some people think they know. So we're going to learn all about that business today. And with us today is Paul Faulkner, whose father, Jim, and mother, Pauline, were the ones that, I guess, started that business. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Doug.
Appreciate you coming in and helping us learn a little bit more about your family and the business that they had. We'll start by asking you, how long has Faulkner & Fain been in business? When did it make its way here to our county?
We came from Stanford in 1957, and my dad was a partner in a business in Stanford that basically was similar. But he wanted to, like a lot of other people, wanted to get out on his own, start his own business. So he came up here, and they went to Lexington to look at property, but it was so rent was so expensive.
Yeah.
So they decided to stop by Nicholasville. Just so happened, when they stopped in, they went in to see Johnny Bourne.
Yeah.
And he was a member of the Chamber of Commerce.
Now, he had a hardware store.
He had a hardware store up beside the Hemphill Farm.
Right, down here on Main Street.
And that evening, the Chamber of Commerce was getting ready to have a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So he took Mom and Dad down there and introduced them and told them what he wanted.
Yeah.
And at the time, there was only two property available, and that was the old power plant building up on North Main where the big smokestack is.
Yeah, it was. It used to be a bakery distributor one years ago. Donaldson.
Well, this was before Donaldson came.
Oh, okay.
It was empty, and Donaldson had the first refusal on the property.
All right.
So they got it. And then the only other property that was available was the old gymnasium up there.
Yeah, next to, well,
right up
for reference right
standing,
now.
Yeah.
It's called the Coolidge Building.
Well, the old gymnasium was right up from the
that,
Coolidge.
From that. But for people that's trying to figure out where we're talking about, it's up from where they park the school buses right now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's that out there.
Yeah.
So anyway, we started the business in 1957. I can remember coming up with Dad during spring break from high school, and I was a sophomore at the time.
Yeah.
And we came up and for about a week and cleaned out the old gymnasium.
Yeah.
And everything to get it ready to work.
Got it ready to go. Well, at that point, let's stop a minute and back up and give a little bit of history on your mom and your dad. Now,
okay.
Tell us where your mom and dad were from, where they were born, and even how they met.
Well, I'm not sure how they met, Doug, but she went to school in Waynesburg, Kentucky, down in Lincoln County.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Highland High School down in Lincoln County.
So they both were from Lincoln County.
That's
probably
right.
Knew each
right.
other for years, maybe. It could have been family
well,
friends
probably,
or something like
probably
that.
Probably did.
Yeah.
But basically, that's how they, I guess, how they got together or whatever.
Now, let's start with Jim. Jim, of course, went. You said to Highlands? Is that what you said?
Highland.
Okay.
Highland.
Did he go to college after
No,
that?
No, he didn't even, no.
Did he serve in the military?
No, he did not.
Okay.
No.
And what about your mom? Did she have any post education after high school?
No, she went to beauty school, okay. But other than that, yeah. She did not.
So they end up getting married,
right?
For some reason, they fall in love and they get married.
Yeah.
And
I don't know how they met.
But that's okay. But they got two Lincoln County people. It probably like Jessamine County wasn't very big. Everybody probably knew everybody at
that's
that time.
That's right. Yeah.
And then at some point in time, what was he doing, I guess? What kind of work did he do then?
Well, he was a carpenter.
Okay.
So his father had a carpenter. They built houses.
So the wood was in his blood. So
yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. So even at that time.
Right. He worked in the carpenter. And then his aunt built the Faulkner Motel down in Lincoln County.
Oh, yeah?
And then he and Mom ran the motel for a long time. They had a restaurant. Then after that, he was still in the carpentry business.
Okay.
And then that's when he went with his brother and Lincoln in Stanford and worked in that business down there.
Okay. Yeah. And then at some point in time, I guess when he had time he wasn't working, him and your mom, Pauline, decided it's time to start a family. So
yes,
tell us about you and your sister. When were you guys born? When did you guys come along? Is Ginger the oldest?
Yes. Okay. Yes, Ginger's the oldest. So Ginger came, 2 years older than I am.
And Ginger came along. She's married to J.D. Wells,
yes,
who we just had
J.D.
on our
Wells,
program.
Yes, just the other day.
Ago, yeah. Yeah. Talking about the milk. Yeah. And then you were born.
Then I was born in 1942.
Yeah. But were you two born in Lincoln County?
Yes, we were. Yeah. I was born in Stanford, and she was, I think she was born right there in Highland. I think the doctor came out and delivered in Highland, but I was born in Stanford Hospital.
Well, now to talk, and we'll wrap the family part up, to talk a little more about how'd you meet this one over here? Now, your wife, tell everybody who she was, because
well,
she's from
course,
here.
You know, I'm married to Ann Waite's maiden name.
Right.
Well, we kind of knew each other vaguely in high school. We didn't go together in high school.
But by the time this occurred, you were here?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, you all had moved here with the company.
Yes.
And because, Ann, I know that you're from our county.
Yeah.
And you all kind of just saw each other, but she probably thought no big deal, didn't she?
Right.
All right.
No, we, of course, like I said a while ago, we came in 1957, and, of course, Ann and I started dating in 64. And then, of course, we married in 1968. And then I was in the Army at the time.
You served in the military.
And then I was in Vietnam.
Okay.
And I came home after Vietnam, and that's when Ann and I got married. And I still had 6 months to go in the Army. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I finished that out in Fort Riley, Kansas.
Okay. So we've kind of got the family who that is, and we're in Nicholasville.
Yes.
They decided, I guess your dad and your mom have made the decision, let's open up a company where the old gymnasium was. How did it start? When he opened the doors, what was he building?
Well, now, when he started out building kitchen cabinets.
Okay.
But it didn't do very many of those until he met a fellow in Lexington, Richard Fisher, mm-hmm. who was already in the display business, store display business, and so they kind of merged, and Dick, I'll call him, he brought his machinery, what he had, down, and some of his employees, mm-hmm. and then they started making store fixtures.
Now,
counters and shelving and stuff like that.
And you know, when you walk into a business, especially retail, mm-hmm. and a lot of their jobs, I think, were retail. I know y'all had the old doll hairs stores and all that.
Right.
But when they display their clothes, they got to have somewhere to display them. They got to have shelves and cabinets and counters stuff to hang up. They got to have all that. So it became a business where you guys, I guess, basically designed and built
right.
what we call store fixtures.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, in 61 or 62, Doug, your dad, Howard, came on mm-hmm. board.
Now, he bought out Mr. Fisher.
That's right. He bought out Mr. Fisher, and Howard did most of the design work and drawing the plans. He was good at that.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's evident with all of his artwork that he had. But we would make counters, you know, to lay the clothing on, mm-hmm. Hanging systems on the wall and shelving, checkout counters and that type of stuff.
And you had a pretty good size area of service. I mean, I can remember him as a boy talking about, oh, I got to go to Cincinnati again. I mean, I don't think he liked Cincinnati very much. But anyway, you guys, I mean, it wasn't just around here in Nicholasville.
No.
You were everywhere.
Oh, well, we did work all over eastern Kentucky, through central Kentucky, and then, you know, some western Kentucky stores. Mm-hmm. And at the time, Doug, there wasn't any interstates up in the mountains, so mm-hmm. it would take all day to drive from here to Hazard, almost, mm-hmm. Harlan. Mm-hmm. We'd get up there and then unload all of our stuff, and a lot of times then we would have to tear out the old shelving and store fixtures and just start from the bare walls.
Oh, really? You had to do the demolish work, too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then we would go from there. A lot of times, then somebody else might come in late carpeting or whatever. Yeah, but we did all of the interior work for those stores.
Now, and I'm going to skip back and forth here, but as it is today, is it still store fixtures that mostly the company mm-hmm. does, or what are they into now?
Well, no, I should say, because I'm retired, but we started doing bank interiors. Mm-hmm. We would build the check counters, mm-hmm. check writing desk, the teller's line, mm-hmm. built a lot of the desks, doors, and all the trim. And we just did it sort of just, you know, did all of the interior work.
Right.
Now, at the time, going back to when we were doing store fixtures, it got to the place where the mom and pop stores were going out,
right?
Because the big box stores were right. coming and put them out of business. Right. So we had to find something else.
Yeah, that hurt you guys too.
Right. It really hurt us.
Yeah.
So we had to find something else to do. And so that's what we got into. And then from probably the last 20 years, it was 90% of what we did up there were bank interiors.
Yeah. And let me just say right now, folks, if you want to see one of the best examples in my mind of some of the work that Faulkner and Fain has done, all you have to do is step in the door of, in fact, the sponsor of this show, the Farmers Bank,
right
downtown Nicholasville, because I remember when you all the Faulkner and Fain redid all that. That's a great example. Just walk in there and just look at that teller line. Look at all that wood. And that was produced right here in our county.
Yes. Now, we did the Citizens Bank right directly across.
Yes, when it was Citizens, before it was United.
Right, and then the Town Square Bank up here, we did the teller line and all of that.
Yeah,
I'd say about every bank in town, Doug, we've done work in, you know.
A little more about your dad and mom. Now, of course, your mother worked up there for a long time, didn't
she? Yes, she did. She was a bookkeeper.
Yeah, she was there for a while. Well, and, you know, that's one of those things. There's not a lot of people who are married that can work that close together and survive.
Yeah.
It takes somebody pretty special to be able to do that. You know, my memories of that place, of course, Dad, you said he bought in 61. Is that right?
I believe it was, Doug, 61 or 62.
And I'm thinking that he may have gotten out around the early 70s.
No, it was, 75, I believe.
Yeah, because I know he had already started producing artwork by that time. I think his first print went on the market in 69. And he finally got to the point to where he decided, it's kind of like your dad.
Yes.
I want to make a full-time living out of drawing and stuff, and did raise two kids on it somehow. Couldn't do that nowadays.
No doubt.
You know, it's a whole different era. I've told people before, he hit it at the right time. Because now you just couldn't make it.
Right.
But anyway, he was there, and I can remember, and I've talked to my mom about this, that I'm sure my brother and I aggravated a lot of people at Faulkner and Fain, because at that time, you know, in the late 60s, I was born in 62, so, you know, I'm 7, 8, 9 years old, and we'd come up there after school, and you guys were nice enough just to let us run around wherever we wanted to, and we got under everybody's feet. I can remember some of my best memories. First off would have to be Mr. Cartwright.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Everett. Yes, and his son, Junior, were custodians at your place for how long? My gosh. They were there for a long time.
Oh, yeah. They were, I couldn't tell you, but they probably came up there in mid-60s.
Yeah,
probably.
They were there a long time. Yeah.
And then, of course, Mr. Cartwright, you know, he got where he couldn't.
Right.
You know, age caught up with him, I guess you'd say. And I'd say 73 or 74, something like that's when. So anyway, Junior was a part-time fireman.
Yes, he was. In fact, his son I think retired from the Knoxville Fire Department, David.
Yeah, David did.
I remember those two guys, and you know, there's other people that I remember. Of course, your mom and dad, absolutely. In fact, I can still walk in and see basically the way it used to be set up. Mm-hmm. You had Connie Wells, I think, with Connie. She worked there for a long time.
Yes, uh-huh.
And some of the names I remember, Jimmy Morford, who turned out to be one of the greatest people that I ever met. He was top notch.
Yes, he was.
In fact, Jimmy, unfortunately, ran into a little problem with a table saw, the Dado, I think.
I remember
cut some of his fingers off. But I remember those people. And I remember the other thing I remember, and this is kind of odd, I think. You know, if I say the word Ward's Bakery to you, you probably right now in your mind can smell it. And I can still in my mind smell that. And I guess it was laminate, it was the chemical, whatever it was that we used back there. If I smell that to this day, the first thing that comes to my mind is Faulkner and Fain.
That's right.
Odd how that happens.
Lacquer.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
But the machinery up there, of course, that business got pretty daggone big. I mean, to look at it now compared to probably what your dad
yes.
had started yes. is truly amazing. Yeah. Now, when Dad got out, did you come in more at that point, or was there anybody else, or was it just you and your dad?
Well, I was in the Army, you know,
and then when
Howard got out, well, then Jimmy Morford was there to kind of take up the slack with the drawing and design.
And
of course, I was working in the office, too, at the same time.
Yeah. So, as far as ownership, was it you and just you and your dad?
Well, I didn't become an owner in the company until sometime later, after Ann and I married,
So you guys ran it for quite a few years.
Yes.
Along with your dad and mom.
Right.
When did we lose Jim?
1976.
So not long.
No, not long after that.
Now, and unfortunately, and Jim, I can remember him so well. I was a little boy, but it's amazing how you can remember people like that.
Yes.
One of the nicest guys you could ever meet. If you had to, in one word, Paul, describe your dad as a dad, what word would you use?
Well, I would have to say he was a man of integrity, mm-hmm. honesty. What he told you he would do. I never heard him say one bad word toward anybody or about anybody.
Mm-hmm. And that could, of course, apply to him as a professional, too.
That's right, as a professional.
Yeah. What about your mom? How would you describe her?
Well, you know, she was a good mother.
Yeah.
And she helped Dad an awful lot there in the business.
Sure.
I guess if it wasn't for her, he probably couldn't have made it like any husband.
Sure, did. Right.
When with his wife, he'd have a hard time.
But, truth be known, they're the rock.
Yeah.
And when did we lose Pauline?
2007.
Yeah. So she lived quite a long time after
Yes, she did. She did.
And stayed active in the company, I guess, for quite a few years. But I know, until she had some health problems, she stayed pretty active.
Right, she did.
Nice people. I always thought a lot of Jim and Ann. They were, Jim and I looked at your wife and said, Ann, Jim and Pauline, always very, very good. As Dad thought, of course, a lot of those two people.
There was another thing, Doug, we didn't mention. We had a fire in 1963 that destroyed a big part of the building.
I remember Dad talking about that.
And how many
cars have run through the end of that building up there? Oh my goodness!
Well, before I left, there was about four and one in 1 cent.
Because you come around that hill coming towards town, I guess, but especially coming towards town, lose control coming around that curve. In fact, one not too long ago.
That's what I'm saying. One just not long ago.
Yeah. So that's, and I understand, and I'm hoping this will happen. But the word is if they ever do this east-west bike connector they're talking about, supposedly they're going to shave about 2 feet off of that hill. So it'll be a whole lot better to see. Maybe it'll help people from running into the building. Okay. So you decided, well, maybe it's time for me to retire now. Ann's got lots of stuff for me to do at home.
Oh, yeah.
So who now is the owners of the company?
The owners of the company now is Howard Figg and Sonny Fitch.
So they own it.
They're the two owners now.
So John France got out.
John France is out of it.
Because he was in it at one time.
He was into it. He was into it. The three partners there for a long time was John France and Jerry Moore from Lincoln County and myself.
Okay.
We were three partners for the last, I'd say, 10, 12, 15 years.
Yeah. But now it's Howard who, I guess.
That's Howard. Now,
did he buy in before John France left?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And for those that hear the word Sonny Fitch, that may sound familiar to you because his dad is Leonard Fitch. Fitch's IGA in Wilmore.
Yeah.
And so it's just now Howard and Sonny.
That's right.
Running the business. Yeah. And I guess it's going gangbusters as always.
As far as I know, it seems to be, yes.
Yeah. What do you miss about it the most?
Well, you know, I enjoyed getting in there. And, of course, I did a lot of the drawing. I didn't do a whole lot of design work, but shop drawings and mm-hmm. plans and things like that. And I think I kind of miss that more than anything. But I don't miss having to get up and go there every day.
Yeah.
You know.
The corporate part of it.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the tough part.
That's right.
And employees sometimes, that's all why they have that that saying, the grass is not always greener.
You're right.
On the other side.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you just take it easy now and do what she tells you to do.
Well, yeah, of course. I try to do some fishing. I like to fish. And, of course, you know, there's always something to do around the house and little project that you need to do. So I enjoy doing that.
Well, at one time you were into muskets and things. Are you still doing that kind of stuff?
No, I don't. Of course, I made my own flintlock rifle, muzzleloader rifle, back in about 1970 when nobody else was doing it.
And I'll tell you, still hanging. Some people, the older people, would know this, but before Dad came to town and bought a building to have his place in, his artwork and his framing, he did it at home. He took a back porch that we had, and he built a room on it, and that was his art gallery for quite a few years. And if you want a picture frame, you had to drive out there and all that. And still hanging on that wall in that room is the, and I'm trying to think of the name, the horn, the powder horn.
Powder horn,
that you
made
and etched. And I think it was made out of some kind of, I don't remember what it's made out of, but you etched, I think, a drawing of the old Union Mills area.
Oh, yes, the old Union Mill Distillery and all of that area down in there.
Yep. And I don't know how many years ago that's been, Paul, your name's on it, but it's still hanging there to this day.
I made it probably in 72 or 73 along in there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I did all the they call it scrimshaw, but it's basically just etching in it. But
are you doing any woodworking now?
No, I don't really have the room for it. I've got some small tools, woodworking tools, but and I do just a little bit, but not much. No,
your dad's been gone almost 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it has. Did you say 76? It
76,
has been 40 years. 40 years
right.
This year. Wonder what he'd say if he could come back for 5 minutes and see Jessamine County, Nicholasville.
Well, I told Ann, I said, if you took him and brought him in right now, he wouldn't know where in the world he was. He would think he was in downtown Chicago, New York, or whatever. But he would be shocked like everybody else was.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked basically as how much the county has grown in the last 30 years.
But you know, at the time that you all first started that shop out there where the old gymnasium was,
mm-hmm.
if you went up Maple Street, you had some houses up through there that a lot of the African American community lived in.
Right.
But once you got to the point of where the shop is, you kind of were in the county.
You were out. That's right.
You were way out there. I still tell people today, my kids, I think this is funny that I would even remember this, but that I can remember when Edgewood Baptist Church was a cornfield. And you were way out in the county when
you got to that point,
and now it's just nothing. And it's kind of like with Falter and Fane. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the eastern edge of the city limits, I guess.
Right, right.
When you got to that point.
It was, and like you say, you just went right out of town up there.
Mm-hmm.
I think someone told us that the city dump was right behind the shop at one time, but I don't know for a fact if it was or not.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of those businesses that has contributed in our county in a way not like retail. It's not been one of those businesses where a lot of people maybe even knew what they did, because mm-hmm. it wasn't somewhere you would walk into and shop at like a grocery store or a clothing store or things like that. But it would be probably pretty amazing if people could see a list of the businesses that they have been in their lifetime that you all had a part in.
That's right.
And they didn't even know it. I mean, it came right here, Nicholasville, Kentucky, from just what I call a mom-and-pop operation, and that's exactly what it was.
Well, I think we're probably still the oldest manufacturing plant in Nicholasville.
You have to be.
because there was not another one here.
You have to be. Yeah. Yes. And in fact, not only one of the oldest manufacturing, you're probably close to being one of the oldest continuing businesses.
That's
now, I know
probably.
There's a couple that I can think of that may be a little older, the Farmers Bank, for one. But I'd say top 10, Faulkner and Fain has got to be right there. Let me ask you this question. Why is it still called Faulkner and Fain?
Well, we just didn't want to go through the problems of changing the name.
Yeah.
Whenever you do that, you have to, you know, go through the state to get, you know, get your incorporation papers. And all of that. So we just never did ever change it.
Yeah.
So just let it go. Everybody, name was well known out in the banking community all over the state.
Because it was Faulkner and Fisher. And then I think when Dad bought it, changed to Faulkner. And you know how many people to this day have no clue that that was Dad? They'll say something to me about it. And they'll, who is that Fain in that? I'm like, well, that was him. Believe it or not, they just didn't know that he was involved in that, I guess.
No.
But a lot of the people that did, unfortunately, are gone.
That's right.
That era, that generation are gone now.
All of the employees that we had up there when we came, they're all passed away. They're all gone. Yeah. There's none of them left in it.
What about that? Well, I mean, I want to say how much I appreciated your mom and dad, and I'm glad that I got to know them. Folks, you know, when you are working with people, and especially dad's situation, being a part of, you know, having some ownership along with your dad, you get to know them really well. You have to.
Yes.
And they were always so very nice to us and appreciated. And you guys were, even when he decided that, you know, maybe I want to go and do my own thing with my art. It was, as far as I know, it seemed like it was very supportive. The Faulkners were of Dad, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate the contribution that you guys have made to our community. You know, you, like a retail store, have contributed when it comes to paying your share of taxes here in this town. Yeah. You've hired a lot of people, a lot of jobs. Yeah. A lot of people had jobs up there at that
place. A lot of people had come and gone.
Yeah. And that has helped our community, Paul, and we appreciate you being around. And I know that you've got to be proud that every time you drive up that way and see those letters on that wall, you know, that's my dad.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. I'm sure you probably do, too.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Okay, Doug. Appreciate it.
My thanks to Paul Faulkner for coming in and telling us the history of Faulkner and Fain Company and talk about his parents. Glad you could stop by this morning for All Things Jessamine. We do it every Saturday at 11 o'clock. Also, hope you'll tune me in on my regular show. I'm here weekday mornings from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Jessamine County's own radio station, Jess FM 105.9.
In 1934, a brand new house cost about $6,000. The cost of a gallon of gas was 10 cents. And in 1934, Farmers Bank of Jessamine County opened their doors at 200 North Main Street in Nicholasville. And they've been there ever since. The times may have changed, but Farmers Bank is still here. Still proud to be the only locally owned and locally operated bank in Jessamine County. Banking with friends and neighbors. Farmers Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.